Yeah, Dave, agus fault gudi an clard and law nocht dis misha Ivan O'Merle agus Tommy an show agudi a hocht a clog in nocht con an clard at Terrace Talk. Yeah, we are very welcome along. Shock na gwelga, of course, we said we may as well get the couple of fuckle in nice and early this evening. It's Ivan Hurley with you on Terrace Talk between now and 8 o'clock this evening. Once again, an absolutely action packed weekend of sport, both here at home and nationally and internationally, of course, as well. We begin our chat with Kerry Monaghan in just a couple of minutes, with John and Liam as ever. We'll be chatting the Kerry ladies. Unfortunately, they were beaten by Galway yesterday as well, the Kerry Camogie team. They've had a fantastic start. We'll be chatting to the Kerry Camogie captain a little later on as well. And Kerry, LGFA, of course, planning for the future, plenty going on there, fundraisers, everything else, a busy time of year for the county board, for both the men's and the ladies' county board as well. So we'll be chatting to a few from the LGFA to see what the plans are for the year ahead. Of course, development sides and underage teams and everything else. It takes a lot to run these sorts of things. But as ever, you can get in touch. And I must apologise for last week. We weren't aware that the text system was down last week. So if you did send in a message to us via text or SMS, we do apologise we didn't get to them. We got a couple of them in, but they were a small bit scrambled and it didn't work out. From there on in, we got the WhatsApp messages. We are back online tonight, but just apologies to anyone who might have sent in a text. I promise we weren't ignoring your comments. We do like when the listeners do get in touch and give your view of events as well. It all adds to the programme. 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp this evening. Neva's taking your calls. 066 712 3666. And as ever, if you're a bit further afield or maybe midweek, you've got something to get off your chest, you can always email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. But the Kingdom safe in Allianz Football League Division 1 for another season. That's after a good win over Monaghan yesterday. 118 to 7 points in a wet and windy Fitzgerald Stadium means Kerry are guaranteed of their Division 1 status, and now we're only looking up rather than looking down, which is always great with two games to go in the company of former Kerry footballers Liam Broston and John Kennedy. Liam, as I mentioned, look, a great win. We'll dissect the game a small bit, but it is great to be able to say this evening, no more looking down the table, we're only looking one direction and that's up. And you're always going to look down until a time comes you don't have to look down anymore. So nice to have that with two games to go as well.
It is, Ivan, a very comprehensive win. And I suppose, look, It was a kind of a four pointer really, because you're getting 2 points and you're really putting Monaghan down. Yeah. So that's one team gone. But yeah, it takes us out of the conversation of relegation now. So like you said, we're looking up the table now. So it makes the next two games interesting. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of theories and conspiracy theories out there. Do we want the final? Do Donegal want the final? For me, I do think that if there's a final there, You go for it.
Yeah.
And I just think that makes next Saturday night week's game against Mayo, it's going to be a humdinger, because they're going to come down with a big crowd. They're in second in the table. We're behind them by a point. Mm-hmm. No, so whoever will win that game will go second, and don't know, we'll have one leg in the final going into the last game. Don't know, so, and then we have to go up to Armagh in the last game, so that'll make it interesting. What depend on Armagh? Will there be relegation battle, or could they be gone down already? So the next two games are going to be very interesting for Kerry.
Yeah, and it is great we can't go into them, John, you know, without having to worry about, you know, behind us once again. And as I said, you are aiming for potentially that league final now. We're not too sure what the hope is, but for every Kerry fan, you want to win every game, John, and hopefully get to Croke Park and another medal, another honour on the list in a couple of weeks' time as well.
Yeah, I think Liam's hit the nail on the head there. It's all about competitive games going into the championship, Ivan, and there's no better, you know, two really top-class games ahead of us now in Mayo and Armagh. A lot of similarities to last year's league, you know, the line is so fine that the difference between victory and defeat and a draw could mean relegation or being in a final. You know, there's a few mouth-watering games coming up at Armagh Dublin that could decide who's gone down if Armagh lose that game. Mm-hmm. You know, there are 2 points, they're as good as gone, and Dublin will be safe. But from our point of view, this is going to be a great test against Mayo. you know, a rejuvenated Mayo side under Andy Moran, a lot of young talent, a lot of underage, under 20s, and of course Kobe McDonald. But from our point of view, I think, look, yesterday's game was important. It shows that our fitness levels are improving, our squad depth is certainly there, and the new lads that have come in have done exceptionally well. But we'd have to say that, you know, when we went it later on, I suppose the Clifford brothers, you know, where would we be without them? Mm-hmm. Party, four great points. When he went off, there was a bit of a lull. Then entered David. I suppose the 2 point that he kicked him was one of the best.
As good as you'd see.
And the move for the goal, I think, was absolutely fantastic. It was real Kerry football. Great ball from Armin Heimrich into Shawnee Shea. Flicked it off to David and, you know, he stuck in the net. But we're going well. We're going well. And Jack is integrating the players. You know, he's drip feeding them in as corners as we go. And we're in a very good position. It's in our own hands. We've two games to go. A win and a draw, or maybe two wins, or maybe one win could be enough to get us a final.
Yeah. Liam, we were talking after the, I think it was the Galway game before the Dublin one, and we were kind of saying that, you know, we're looking at your players coming back in, and that, as John said, that drip feeding, and we have seen that, and there's so many more to come back in. It almost feels like we're in more of a comfortable position at this stage this year than we were last year. Now, maybe the competitive edge with maybe Monaghan and potentially other teams only with two wins behind us, maybe that can help as well. But it just seems we're still plenty to come back. We're still not at 100% at full, I wouldn't say full fitness, but at full strength. And, you know, you're still in a probably stronger position than you were this time last year, because we had to wait till the final game to avoid relegation, even though we made it to a league final.
Yeah, and I suppose, Ivan, this all stems from last year, which is very important. Now, for years in Kerry, we kind of stayed with the tried and tested, but last year we were really thrown into the deep, and a lot of players like some Mark O'Shea, all these guys, Evan Looney, and it just shows in Kerry that we have an abundance of talent once they're given an opportunity. And I think this year's league and McGrath Cup, I think Jack really opened it up. No, and you could hear from a lot of their interviews in the past few weeks, no, we need something different to win the All Ireland this year. And what they're all saying is the A versus B matches. No, they're going back to when Dublin were at the height of their winning. No, their AVB games were very competitive. So you can imagine behind the corners now what's inside Killarney, what Kerry are like at the moment, and they're trying to build on that. And I think fair play to Jack and the management. Now, they've given all these guys, like you, Eddie Healy, now yesterday, Liam Smith came off the bench, Dunne O'Sullivan again came in, now kicked his points, Dara Lyne made an appearance yesterday. So you're adding players the whole time to it. So, and I said it to Joe yesterday, making the 15 will be a hard job this year, but making the 26, the match day 26, will be just as competitive, because there's a lot of guys there now that you can turn around if you're Kerry management, and you'd have no hesitancy of bringing a fella off the bench and wondering would he do it or won't he do it, because looking at the players so far, they're all fitting in seamlessly. And it's great, you know, and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. There's a long way to go, but at the moment I think things are going very well. But the main thing is for me is that Paddy and David, and we saw it yesterday, and Shawnee Shea, they're our three main leaders, they're linchpins. We need to mind them. I think if anything happens, either one of them, you know, it puts us back a step or two. But if we can keep those three guys fit going into the championship, Ivan, it's going to take a very good team to beat us.
Yeah, 100%. John, I suppose the game itself, really, I suppose the first half was one that won't be long living the memory. You won't be watching the highlights, really, of the first 35. Again, conditions were so difficult, but I suppose the main positive, really, from the opening 35 is how Kerry ended up leading going in at the halftime break, and, you know, against a very, very strong wind that we saw Kerry utilise, really, in the second half. Might just gone to show maybe the kind of opposition that Kerry were up against, and that there was no major doubts around the place at half-time that Kerry were going to get the job done?
No, Monaghan, they're not what they were, Ivan. You know, they're lacking. They're in transition, certainly, and, you know, Bannigan has done a great job, but the amount of players that have gone out, you know, and they have guys to come back in, but I think they're doomed for Division 2. We've seen that in their performances. What would disappoint you was, I suppose, Kerry into the wind. You know, Paddy Clifford led by example, kicking the two early scores, and then Keith Evans. But our defence and our structure, we didn't allow Monaghan to go at us. They weren't kicking from outside. I think that was evident, Liam.
We pushed up on them.
Yeah. And I thought, again, like Liam said about our main men, but I thought the spine of our defence, Jason Foley and Tighe, were outstanding. Armin Heinrich again. The fullback then was brilliant. You know, they didn't allow them. We know the opposition we were up against. We'll meet better opposition. But they did the job on the day in terrible conditions. And, you know, once we got to half-time at point eight, it was only a matter of what would we win by. But you'd have to say, give credit to Monaghan. They came at us in the second half. You know, Jack McCadden came in and added a bit of life to the attack. But your question, I listened to the playback of Ambrose, and he said it during the game, is that they had nothing to lose coming down. You'd think they'd have had a go at it. You know, shoot from the two-point zone.
Especially when they had such a strong wind.
Exactly. Have a go and ask questions of Kerry. But you credit the Kerry defence or Kerry midfield. The work rate, and again, Sean Ishay, he covered every blade of grass. The work rate and the fitness of our players to close them down and not allow them those shots, I think that augurs well for going forward.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Jason Foley was questioning Liam at the start of the league campaign this year. I mean, it might have been the Roscommon game.
Yeah.
And he's really, really proven himself since that. No, it wasn't us to question him. Don't get that wrong. But he was questioned. It was mentioned in a couple of corners. But my God, he's really come into the league again. And we know the strength that Jason Foley brings to this team. We've really seen it. And again, I think, especially in the first half yesterday, it really came to the fore of his strength.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, that game against Roscommon, we see what Roscommon are after going after doing now, John. And the two guys that were inside the full forward line, they're leading scorers in the league at the moment. So they were going well. They had probably a couple of more weeks training done than Jason. But you could see game by game, the likes of Jason, Tadhg Morley, you know, Joe O'Connor as well, getting the legs are starting to move more freer now. Like Tadhg Morley, for me now, I saw him above in the McGrath Cup match above in Clare, actually. But I was above with Tim that night, and you could see he's lean, he's fit. It's a while since I've seen Tadhg that fit, you know, and I think he knows. But that comes from being, no, he wants a spot. He wants a jersey. So he's training his backside off, you know, just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're really pushing it. But Jason Foley yesterday, and Dylan Casey a few times, the way they got their hand in front of the player, a ball coming in, they got a hand, they got a leg, and it just deflected the ball out into a Kerry player. It was fantastic. But our first half performance was really driven from our defence. I agree with John, because we just stepped out on them. There wasn't, no. Even though Monaghan probably didn't have the ability to shoot two-pointers, we didn't give him the chance to shoot two-pointers, because every time they got a bit of space, there was a Kerry jersey beside him.
Yeah. I suppose the second half really was kind of a shooting exhibition, as you said, when David Clifford came on and kind of changed it. But great to see such a good spread of scores again. And it kind of, you know, yourself in matches and years ago, if you got an old score, it kind of give you that boost of confidence, John, to see, you know, Armin Heinrich came up and got one, Donal Sullivan got one, Keith Evans, as you mentioned, Tadhg Morley got one. You know, it is good to see that kind of spread of scores as well. Now, David Clifford comes on for 15 minutes and ends up being top scorer, but at the same time, it's nice for these guys to kind of get on the score sheet and, Joe, gives him a small bit of pride as well, doesn't it, going into the next game. You have that confidence, you went up and took the score, if you want to say it that way.
Yeah, you'd always look at the spread of scores, Ivan, regardless of the victory. And I think 'tis important that, you know, the David will always do what David does, and Paddy and Sean Ishay, but there'll be days that they'll be marked and they'll be nullified. And you want somebody else to come up and take the pressure off. And we're certainly doing that, like Tadhg and Armin getting the scores. But Joe O'Connor will always chip in. Mm-hmm. He's you know, the fitness he has and the power. He'll always create chances by his direct running. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even goals, maybe. He could go for goals, but Joe will give you that. Mm-hmm. When he goes on the run, it's a straight line. He's going to break the tackle and he's gone. But it's great. And like Keith Evans, great to see him getting so many games, you know, in a row now. And his confidence, his fitness levels and his pace. And it's about experience at that level, and you'll only get it by playing. And this is, like Liam said, it's going to be something else for the championship panel to pick, let alone the team. But that 26, you know, and going back to Tadhg Morley, you know, himself and Jason are really outstanding. Their first touch, their close marking. But like, we're not off air with what's in Tadhg's mind, but if, you know, from the outside looking in, he saw the number of young lads coming in and doing well. He had to be in top of his game at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. He's really after putting down a marker. He's made the number six his own. And he's lean, he's playing, his football ability is unquestionable. But the way he's playing now, and, you know, I think that understanding with Jason, you know, at six, we said earlier on, particularly the Roscommon game, there was a gap into the full forward line. That's closed now. Or half back line, regardless of the personnel. But Tadhg is keeping six. And he's going forward at times, but there's always somebody at home to close the gap and not allow that good ball into the full forward line.
And our 5 and 7, then Eddie Healy and Armin yesterday in the first half, every time they were just bombing up the field. You know, they're a great relief ball,
yeah,
because they have the legs, they're fresh, they're eager to go, they're young. You know, and it's great there at 5 and 7. And you have like Sabreen Begley and Gavin White and all these guys to come back, Mike Breen. Yeah. You know, so there's going to be competitiveness for a defender's jersey.
And about Armin, Liam, the ball he gave for the goal.
That's right, yeah.
It was heads up football. Yeah. That's coming from a player that's comfortable in his position. He's not out to try and impress. He's relaxing and playing football and expressing himself. He looked up, he gave a quality ball into the chest of Shawnee Shea. Shawnee flicked it to David, back of the net. That's Kerry football.
Yeah. John, you mentioned there as well about the 26, and obviously the 15, the 26. But I'm going to go back to, and I feel I can go back to this nearly every week, but it does go to show the panel you need. For when we got to that Meath game last year and the players that were coming in and the bench and everything else with all the injuries. So, like, a lot of these people, like, maybe not made the 15, maybe not made the 26, but they'll have a good, strong training panel. And your time might come. It's a longer series now, the way the championship is changing and everything else. You've got more games than ever before. There's a chance for these lads to get out in the championship as well, and even, you know, impress off the bench. And like, now is the time to do it, as we mentioned before. These lads start getting drip fed back in, and we're seeing that now more and more. The panel's getting stronger and stronger, and these fellas are still putting their hands up.
There's no doubt, and the format of the championship, as you say, it's played in such a short space of time. As any type of an injury, you could miss the remainder
season
of the
out,
season out, and that's why you have to have quality in every line as a replacement. And that's where ANB comes in, like Liam said. That's what tis. That's what made Dublin so great. The 15 against the A team were pushing them all the way. Mm. So that if a guy couldn't relax if he was on the first 15, that's what tis about. And Jack O'Connor has reached that now. He must be. He's in a great place. And that has come from being. I mean, we were here after the Roscommon game, and there was people on the street questioning, and why don't we put out our best 15? And rightly so. You know, every Kerry supporter has their opinion, mm-hmm. and every opinion is you know, you listen to it, but you learn by putting guys in. And I suppose the beauty of this is there's experience in every line of the team, and you have inexperience with them, and that's the way to do it. Not, it's not about throwing a number of young lads in and they're getting lost, but when you're inside in the defence, when you're in the half back line as in Eddie Healy, and you have Tig Marley, you have Heinrich, you have Jason Foley, you have Paul Murphy around you, Dylan Kitt, like, if you make a mistake, you know the boys are behind you, you're playing with confidence.
Yeah.
I think even Mark O'Shea is a great example for any youngster, because Mark O'Shea is hanging around the Kerry team probably with the last 4 years, in and out of training matches. He's been training, he's been doing the weights programs. You know, he was waiting for his chance. There was nothing coming. You know, there was times you could see him probably walking away, even though he was playing with Crokes. Mm-hmm. He was whenever he was called into a match, he was going. And next thing, all of a sudden, he gets his chance. And he took it with both hands. You look at Killian Trent's probably in there with 2 years. You know, you very rarely would have just pop in there straight away.
Yeah.
You know, Keith Evans has been there with probably 2 years. All these guys have their I won't say their thing done, but they've their time served. No, it's a big step up now to go into an inter-county setup, you know, strength and conditioning, because no matter how good you are coming in, the guy that's in there for a year or two before, he's probably bigger and stronger, and it makes a massive difference.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark, it really has, because if you saw him now again yesterday, and you did, Ivan, you were inside with me, you know, the size of him.
Yeah,
you know, he looks like an inter-county senior footballer now, because he was leading around the middle of the field. Everything he did right. It wasn't dramatic, but he's one of those players that when he gets his hand on the ball, he'll always do the right thing. And I think he's a fantastic example for anyone.
And I think, Liam, it tests these players mentally as well, because, you know, when you're prepared to sacrifice not getting on the team, not being involved in the match day squad, up on the stand as a spectator like the rest of us, when you have that mental toughness to go through that, to say, I wait for my chance, you can see the way they're taking it now. And that's what it's all about. And there's no softness at inter-county level. You know, you have to be mentally tough. You have to be ready to take the knocks, take the criticism. But when you get your chance, you have to take it in and let that do the talking.
Yeah.
And they're doing that at the moment.
Yeah, all these young lads have, and they've really stepped up to the mark and like that. Giving Jack O'Connor some good headaches, I think, heading in towards a championship. Lads, we have to take a quick break. We have plenty of your comments to get to as well. 083 300 3300. That's on text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 7123 666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. Kerry are building nicely at the moment, and it's great to see so many newer lads playing well. We're getting very little coverage nationally at the moment. Thank God you're listening to our local radio station here in Radio Kerry, which is a great help in keeping expectations in check. Nothing is won at this time of year, but with our All-Ireland winning half-back line and also Shane Ryan and Dermot O'Connor to come back in, this Kerry squad is looking like the strongest we've had in a long time. That's from Liam in Ballyhaig. I think I put it to your name, say Liam and Ballyhaig to Liam Brosnan. Dead right there. Like, you know, I think we've touched on that over the last couple of minutes, but, you know, we have kind of that squad depth, and it's not even just the depth of a squad, but it's the strength of the squad as well. All of those are strong footballers, and they've proven it in this league campaign as well.
Yeah, and I think, like we said earlier, that's coming from, you could say, from the Maguire Cup all the way through to now. It's the way he's been integrating the old with the new. And it has played off, and even the new guys, they've been fitting in seamlessly. No, so I think like we said, I think the Kerry management and us as the Kerry supporters, we can see that, you know, there's a bit of happiness, and everyone's kind of looking forward to the championship coming. Even though I'd be looking forward now to the Mayo game in 2 weeks, because I think that'll be a good test for us.
That'll be a good
test. Mayo are decent. You know, I know they have their history of bottling it and all this kind of stuff. But I think their new management team now are bringing something different to the table, John.
There's a hop under any more than really.
There is, yeah.
Yeah. I think Kobe coming down to Ossendale Park will be mouthwatering as well.
Kobe and David Clifford factor, the poster boys.
Sell out written all over it. High to all, Kerry would have to score a lot more than 118 if they want to beat Mayo and Armagh, or else they'll stay on their 7 points. Take out David and Paddy and they wouldn't have beaten Monaghan. They need the other boys to come back in for the Mayo game. They have to keep track of Kobe O'Donnell, and that's from Eilish in Tralee. We actually talked about that last week, John, as well, the scoring, and it was 116 we scored against Dublin and won, and we scored 118 yesterday and won. So it's getting the job done, and I know, again, we've seen higher scoring, I suppose, with the new game and the two-pointers and everything else, but, you know, if you're beating the opposition and you're beating them okay, 118 is still plenty to score on a really rough day in Clarny, where 5 points was the order of the day in the first half.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We kept a clean sheet, Ivan, you know. And, of course, you'd always want to score more. But I said you hit it earlier on there when you said about the spread of scores. Last night on the Sunday game, listening to Kieran McGeaney, he said they're doing an awful lot right, kicking 22, 23 points, but they're still losing. So it puts things in perspective. It's all about the opposition. It's all about doing enough to get over the line. And, you know, we're transitioning guys. We're playing guys in different positions. Yesterday we were out David and Tony. You know, of course we brought on David, but it's putting the responsibility on others. And no better place than when there's a bit of pressure on, you need to get a result. Put them in there and see how they react.
Yeah. In general, Liam, the scoring is going to be higher when you hit a Munster semi-final on a nice, hopefully firm pitch above it, Ennis, when the sun's out in April into May. You know, the game is kind of designed for the summer. It's designed for your kind of Croke Park. It's designed for the big provincial championship finals and everything else, the way the rules are now. So, you know, this time of year, scoring 116, 118, not going to put the frights in us too much, really, will it?
No, and look, yesterday, if Monaghan had pushed on and scored 116, 117, I'm sure we could step it up again. You know, we have the gears to step it up. And I would agree with you. The game is made for the summer. The hard ground, the sun shining. You know, it's when you have the likes of David and Paddy, Shawnee Shea and these guys. And I know, Eilish, your listener said there, your main players, but every county has main players. Now, every county don't have a David Clifford. But every county has their main players. And if we're missing one or two of our main players, you're going to be in trouble. And that is the thing, like I said earlier, like David, Paddy and Shawnee are our main three guys. You know, and everybody else then around them adds to the whole thing. But like David yesterday. And you could see even when David came on, he didn't really want to kick the ball a couple of times himself. He had two assists as well.
Yeah, he did, you know? Yeah.
So he's bringing fellas into it. But as time goes on, these guys are going to be getting fitter. They're going to be getting leaner. You know, championship tactics and all this kind of stuff, we're going to be in for a humdinger of a championship.
As much as David Clifford wanted to be the assist, he was roaring it was a two-pointer, not a one-pointer.
And that's right. Yeah.
He wasn't too happy
and
over
that. That as well, because that was a breach. And it just shows his smartness. Yeah. Because he saw the referee had put his hand up, even though the crowd were roaring for a breach. And next thing he knew, this was a free shot. And he was, the way he kicked it off the side of the boot, he was falling backwards. Heavily marked outside the two-pointer. It was a sweet kick.
Yeah, umpires gave it the white flag, but he wasn't taking that till the orange went off. He wasn't taking it lying down. Considering last Sunday's 26 was missing the following: Mike Breen, Shane Ryan, Killian Spillane, Evan Looney, Breen O'Buglie, Gavin White, Sean O'Brien, Dermot, Paul Gailey and Tomás Kennedy. We've amassed a serious panel with another newcomer, Eddie Healy, not looking out of place yesterday. Does Jack go for it against Mayo and Armagh and show his hand versus Donegal in a possible final, or pull up the brakes and keep the powder dry until the championship? Cork's annual implosion may force his hand. I mentioned to Noel Mooney yesterday's ref applied common sense, the advantage rule, and more so made allowances for the adverse weather. We're often quick to give out, so fair is fair. Well done. Really well educated messaging there, to be fair. No name on that one as well, but first of all, when you actually see the names written down, John, you don't realise that's how many we still yet to come back. It is scary, you know, from that one. That is a good one. Do you kind of go for now against Mayo and Armagh, teams you'd imagine will be there at the business end of the championship and a potential league final? He's saying Donegal, maybe not 100% yet, but, you know, you're talking maybe potentially games against Mayo, Armagh and last year's runners-up Donegal. You know, at the end of a league, heading into that game against Clare, John, do you agree? Do you keep the powder dry? Do you keep playing a few little neds, maybe give other fellas a chance? Or do you go all hell for leather now and this is your championship starts next on Saturday week in Tralee?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, Ivan, that comment, the listener didn't give a name, spot on. He knows his stuff, or he or she, whoever. I think, Ivan, you keep it going when you're on a run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mayo's going to be, this is a huge game.
July is a long way away.
That's a long way away. And this is going to be Mayo play football. This is going to be a great game of football. You know, it could be a shootout. But I think that the more you win, these players are, you know, it's fine to say we have an All-Ireland one and that, but there's new players in here that have no league medal. They'd love to get a league medal. And I think we have the squad of players now. Jack has rotated it well. We'll see a few more coming in to get game time. Donegal are playing Roscommon next in the Hyde Park. If Donegal win that, they're in the final. Mm-hmm. So the last game could be, it might make no difference really if Kerry beat Mayo. So I think I'd go for it, and I think Jack will too. Even though, you know, he took pressure off today by saying that the league final wasn't the be all and end all, which is fair enough.
But they're all saying it, aren't they? Any more than saying it? They're all saying it. Yeah.
But survival is the number one, isn't it? You go into the league campaign, and maybe not say it to the players, but even as supporters, survival in Division One is the most important thing, I think, to get out of your league campaign. And if you get to a final, okay, you want to go on and win it, but that's where now it's nice to have that comfort. And I said that at the outset as well, nice to have the comfort now of two games. We don't know what might happen,
and another game at Croke Park, Ivan, which is very important.
Yeah.
If you get to league final, it's in Croke Park,
and with people silverware
may
in
say,
the line.
People may say there's only half a full house there or whatever. That doesn't matter to the players. It's getting into the routine of the system where they're staying. You know, it's a preparation for the championship. You're getting into the routine in the bus into Croke Park, familiar surroundings. You've been here in the league, you're here in the championship. As you begin, I think that's very important.
And you look at Kerry, like, Ivan, every time we've won the league down through the years, we've been down and won Sam.
Really,
and I don't think
it's
like a light switch. I'm a big believer that you can switch it on and off. Mm. That momentum and winning is a great thing. And I think if Kerry can get to a league final, I don't think there'll be any ducks and drakes against Donegal, because from a league final to the July, maybe an All Ireland final or an All Ireland semi final, there's a big gap there. It'll be different. Like league football is different to championship football. You know, there'll be different tactics. There'll be different players probably on the field as well. You know, but I do agree with John. If there's a league, it's a national medal. If it's there up for grabs, I don't think any Kerry player We'll shy away from it.
We'll turn it down. He mentioned as well the referee yesterday, which was the Cavan man whose name has escaped me.
Noel Mooney.
Noel Mooney, yeah. took a small few minutes to settle into it, Liam. I think got a few of the early ones. It was a bit nervous at the start, but to be fair, he did get more into it. I think he allowed for the weather conditions and the advantage. You know, you mentioned it was shows for breaches and everything else. But overall, in what was, you know, it's tricky for a ref. Like, it's hard to stand on the terrace, never mind out the ref a game in those conditions. That wind would nearly blind you with the rain coming at you as well. So I did well, to be fair, after he settled in after the first few minutes.
He did, to be fair. And look, it was a handy enough game to ref. Bar the conditions, because look, both teams went out and tried to play football, and there was no major, don't know, major decision to be made really. A few times, all right, he was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. At one stage, he nearly blocked a Monaghan man from kicking the ball over the bar. So, no, small things like that, but no, I couldn't fault his. Like that, the advantage was a big thing that he played yesterday, which was great, especially in them conditions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hi all, enjoying the show. Is there any update on Paulie Clifford's hamstring? He was holding it going off yesterday. Also, will the January Mick O'Dwyer programme be uploaded to the podcast? I would have thought at this stage the Mick O'Dwyer one was up there, so apologies for that. I'll check in with the lads in the social media team in the office here. They're very, very busy, but I'll annoy them again. Knock on their door tomorrow. Paulie Clifford, John, we had a couple. Mark O'Shea did sort of kind of came off late as well. Paulie kind of was standing on the sideline when he was being subbed. To say he kind of told Jack that it was his time was up. Any major concerns from those yesterday? I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so, Ivan. I think, you know, we're training. You're playing in tough conditions. Underfoot is not great, even though Killarney, the pitch itself was good, but it's still heavy going, and the rain, and it all adds to that. And you're always at a risk of a soft tissue injury in that situation.
Early in the season.
You know, early in the season. You're trying to build up fitness, you're doing the block of training, you're playing matches, you're at risk. But I think that, you know, Paddy is around long enough now, and saw the management that there was probably a little bit of tightness, you know, without knowing it officially.
He was after kicking his 4 points.
Pull him ashore and he'd be okay in 2 weeks.
Yeah, hopefully. Hi, lad, should we be a little concerned with the fact that as brilliant as Jason Foley is, we don't seem to have a replacement for him? He's played every minute of every game in the McGrath Cup to the National League. God forbid if anything happened to him, who could cover the number 3 jersey? Would the panel have any opinion or option? And that's from Alan listening in Tralee.
Yeah, it's a good question, really. Yeah. But like, you'd be looking at like Dylan Casey moving across, because the full back line now is such it's a high speed game really in there, because the best full forwards are probably the best of the forwards of the teams now inside the full forward line. No, so you're going to be on a lively scoring forward. So the likes of Shane or Jason Foley, Dylan Casey, Paul Murphy and all these guys, you'll probably see the likes of Breen Bigley in the moving back there as well. Tom Sullivan can go back there. So we have options. Yeah. You know, if it depends on the player. If it was a Michael Murphy, it's kind of a full forward, you can move back the likes of Tig Morley with Mike Breen. No, so it lot depends on the players that you're going to have.
Horses for courses.
But
like, to be fair, like, I'd agree with Liam, Ivan, but I think the listener is right in that there is no already made number three. Jason has that made his own. And the fact that he's so good, you know, he's been left there.
Yeah.
But it's a critical position, mm-hmm. because you could be a great cornerback. Will you make a good fullback? Maybe not. Maybe yes.
Yeah, be an interesting one, but still plenty coming through, of course. A bit of a longer one here, lads, and it's to do with entry procedures into Ossensack Park. To be fair, Michael Rosson and Skibbereen, you know, he sent it in on an email, so we'll give it the time it needs. Good evening, Ivan, to your panel. Another great win for our football yesterday under appalling weather conditions, as we, the supporters, had to endure, unfortunately, in Dalton's Avenue. I believe this was, the queue started at 10:50, and at first there was 2 queues. This increased down to the roundabout outside the avenue. Every supporter thought that the stewards would open the turnstiles at 11, but they were left there until 11:55. The steward came up and told us they were unable to open those turnstiles in front of us, and to go to the stiles further to the west, and that then led to a fair rush to those gates, which meant the last in the queue were the first in. Some supporters were soaked wet, and this is not the first time it's happened. It also happened in Ossensack Park. Very easy solution: why not open one or two stiles well in advance of the game time, and as the supporters come, they can trickle in with no queuing. They knew the large crowd that was outside the stiles yesterday, and the torrential rain that was coming down on top of them, but they kept supporters there until last minute, and even then they could not open the gates where the queue, they said that the gates were stuck. Supporters were with hard copy tickets that had got wet meant that there was a hold up with the scanning of the tickets at the stiles. In extreme weather, when supporters arrive at the stiles, they should be allowed in and not left outside like cattle waiting to be milked. Please discuss with John and Liam. Your programme is very, very enjoyable, and that's from Michael Brosson in Skibbereen. Thanks a million, Michael, for getting in touch, and sorry to hear that happened. You know, I think with the league and season tickets and everything else, and this kind of unreserved does lead to that sort of queuing going in. Now, I was a bit later up to the game myself, to be totally honest, so I didn't see that in Dalton's Avenue, but I don't know. As a discussion point of view, I'm not 100% sure what can be done. Maybe it might be worth kind of informing the county board, maybe these things. It's an awkward lens, because we want people to go to the games, and, you know, we're trying to get the crowds up. There was just under 5,000 there yesterday, and you kind of hear stories of that. It is rather disappointing, but again, stewards have it tough as well. It's lashing rain on top of them, and, you know, technology trying to scan tickets that are wet. It's a day like yesterday, just, you know, doesn't advocate for anything going well, does it? It's just when the rain's coming down like that. But I think maybe best to maybe, you know, venture you know, thoughts maybe into the county board. But it's a difficult one, Liam, isn't it?
It is, Ivan. Look, I suppose this day and age, it shouldn't be happening, to be fair, you know. But like you said, conditions and everything yesterday, but there should be more than a couple of handful of gates opened when you have maybe 5, 6, 7, or 8,000 people coming to a match, because what they've had to do, said, was it 5 to 12 before it opened?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's only an hour and 15 minutes before kickoff.
No, yeah, because it's tight to get
that's very tight. Now, I know, and my dad is one of the stewards inside. Like, they do, I think it was 10:30, 11 o'clock, they do be inside. But mm-hmm. I suppose they, no, it depends whether it's once the council gate buys, or it's yeah. You know, everything is done to the T. They just can't rock up and open a gate, because the scanners have to be there and all this.
Everything's so, in place.
Yeah, it's something that really pops up every year, doesn't it?
It does,
yeah.
And I think it's down, a lot of it is down to kind of this unreserved, you just buy your ticket and you go in, and, you know, very hard to kind of pick your seat, especially in Fitzgerald Stadium, the way it's kind of the timber slats and stuff like that. And I know the only time you kind of get a seat with your number on it is really for a Munster final, so maybe that's something they might have to introduce, a sort of a reserve system of you buy your ticket and you pick it on, you know, your seat. I go on and buy a ticket for somewhere, you pick your seat on the old map online. Maybe it's something they might have to bring in, but again, very hard with season tickets. It's all a complicated situation when we're just going and enjoy the football.
Before, Ivan, we used to have a problem before, in that people were leaving it late to come to the games,
yeah.
And there was a huge queue outside, maybe half an hour before it. But now
it's the opposite.
When you come into Tralee Killarney for a National League game, no, an hour and a half, 2 hours before it, we often met Liam myself. We come in from Fanfare together, like the people inside. 2.5 hours before the game. So it should be something that's looked at. Is there a remedy to it? Maybe open the gates. Is there kind of regulations people are the staff have to stick by, and the stewards? I'm not so sure, but it's a very valid point. And if, you know, there's a big difference being there 2 hours before the game, being inside in the stand, get a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and you're dry, rather than being outside queuing in the wet.
And maybe chat to people beside.
Maybe the JR are missing out on something there, because you leave someone in 2 hours or 2.5 hours, they're going to buy cups of coffee, go to the shop, they're going to do different things, you know. So
it seems to be an issue all over, though. This isn't a Kerry focus issue, if you don't mind me saying that, listener. I think it has happened at other grounds. We hear them queuing to get into stands. I think a lot of it does go down to the unreserved. If you're going to a concert that's unreserved, you want to be there early to get the kind of the best seat as well. I understand, especially on a day like yesterday, you want to stay dry. I left it late and I got stuck in the terrace for the first half. I sought refuge for the second half, but that was after a fair dousing. So maybe I should have been in the queue 2 hours before.
The Mayo game, probably Saturday night week. Now they'll probably be there 2.5 hours before the match.
To get and want to sit in the stand as well.
Yeah,
makes it a long day then for everyone if you have kids and everything else. So no, definitely a very valid point, and we appreciate you, Michael, getting in touch all the way from Skibbereen as well. You had a long day coming down. Last one before we go to the break. Please tell John to say hello to the guard from Dublin. If you didn't listen last week, that won't make any sense to you. We won't tell the story again.
We'll definitely say hello, and we'll be Liam and myself will be calling throughout the summer. So keep that spot.
And I'm just after getting a text there that Brendan O'Brien is a steward as well. He said to mention him.
There we go.
Brendan.
Yeah, but no. Well, I think there's a cup of coffee in the Garda station next to Crow Park for you, John, the next time you go up. Anyway, I hope they're all listening this evening, and they have a nice peaceful night on the north side of Dublin. Lads, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be chatting Corneyvery and a bit about Congress after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. While many of us will be attending St. Patrick's Day parades up and down the country and county and everywhere else and here in Tralee, there'll be a big exodus from the town as the Green Tralee CBS are into the All-Ireland final. We chatted to Liam O'Sullivan after winning the Corney Varee. They're off to the Hogan Cup final after a 4-11 to 1-15 victory over St. Gerald's of Castlebar. Are delighted to be joined on the line once again by Liam O'Sullivan. Liam, look, massive congratulations. We sat here after the Corney Varee and we weren't being putting too much pressure on, but now after getting to the final, what a fantastic display by your lads again on Saturday.
Yeah, Ivan, it was brilliant. No, we knew it was going to be a tough test and it turned out to be just that. It was like the goal we got at the last minute really kind of flattered us. It was really a 1-point game and there was times of the game when it looked like it might have been moving away from us, but again our boys showed unbelievable heart and they've shown it to us now a few times this year, like I said to you before, so we knew it was there, but it just still doesn't make it any easier watching it from the line.
Yeah, it's getting it out of them. And you said you were kind of ran right to the very end as well, which is probably a good experience going to the Hogan Cup final. Maybe not for your hearts on the sideline, but, you know, being kind of that run to the end. And that video you've up on the social media channels is brilliant with the goal going in and the full-time whistle going. It just kind of captured the whole essence of the whole day, I suppose.
Yeah, just in fairness, there's a shout out there. Must go to our TY Future Leaders there, run by Martin Frawley. That we've two TYs, Keane Fitzgerald and Ronan Harry O'Callaghan there, do all the video bits. So I need the video bits you see on our socials. It's probably those boys that have put it up, and they have a great knack at catching the right moment. So. But it was exactly as you saw it. It was a real outpouring of emotion, and probably that goal went in. We knew, even though the whistle hadn't gone, we knew that was it. So it was a great feeling.
Yeah, you've got some great players in your armoury. Grode White scored potentially one of the goals of the year if the GA had some sort of a competition where you submit him from all competitions. A fantastic finish from him and just the build up from the 45 in, but a full team rounded performance. You look at like a Ronan Carroll 2-1 as well, you know, some huge performances right across the pitch from all of your lads.
Yeah, geez, absolutely. You could pick at least one fella from every line of the field, really. I think that had big moments in the game, and it was a game where we needed those moments, you know, because they were a right good team. So every fella needed to do his bit, and every fella did that and a bit more. So it was great. It was brilliant. It's an unbelievable prize to be. Knowing you're heading to Crow Park now on Paddy's Day, so it's probably a real feel good factor at the minute now today going into school, and just really looking forward to it for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, as we mentioned, haven't made it easy for ourselves. I think it was the same in the Corney Varee final, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Castlebargo, I think, was 6 points in a row. 1 point kind of put a pressure on you to put them a couple of points ahead, I think, at the time as well.
Yeah.
But again, that kind of fight back, as you mentioned already, it is in you, and you kind of had the same in the Corney Varee. Hopefully, the Hogan Cup final might be a handier 60 minutes for you. I don't imagine it will be, but you like doing things a more difficult way, but there, as you said, there is that sort of together in the group that they'll fight till the very end.
Yeah, they will, and I think, you know, this like last year I suppose this, I think a lot has to do with the new rules. I think when especially at this age level, when a team does get on top of kickouts and stuff, the momentum they get from it is huge, and it's probably even more evident, more so than in senior games, because I suppose seniors have a bit more experience and they've a bit more nous in order to kind of rectify the wave that's coming at them. Whereas when lads are a bit younger, it might take them a bit longer to figure it out, and I think that's the way a lot of our games have been. That each team have their purple patch, and I think that's the way the games are now. When you have your purple patch, you just need to make hay while you have it. And while they did well off us on a few of the kickouts, I think we managed to limit the damage in terms of they could have got in for maybe a goal in one or two instances, and we managed to keep them at bay. And once we kind of got our turn, we made sure we got it. We got four goals the last day, and they've been coming. I think we probably left two behind us in the first half, after a couple of good moves. And we're just, it's been something we're doing all year. We've been creating goal chances. And we thought as the year went on, we'd get more, composed in front of goal and finish them. And probably the three you could, like, Giroud's goal is just a thing Giroud does, in fairness to him. He's an exceptional footballer. But the three other finishes, the two from Ronan and Nick Lacey, were real, real cool finishes. They just slotted them away. There was nothing rash or crazy about the shot, like, and that was nice to see that they're learning as the year goes on and they're improving. But we knew goals would be important, and we're just delighted to get them, and that's what won us the game, really.
Yeah, there's great excitement obviously ahead of the Hogan Cup. Hard to believe it's just your second final appearance. I think it was 2007 you were yeah. there last. So drove in past the school today, and the blue and gold is flying already. The bunting and everything is off. So great excitement in the school, I'd imagine, today, and that kind of build up starts now for Paddy's Day as well. But trying to keep the expectation away from the players, I'd imagine, as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. You just we framed it for the boys, and it was like 60 minutes to get to Crow Park, or 65 or 80 minutes or whatever it was the last day, whatever we needed. That was what we were aiming, and we were keeping it as simple as that. And so we'll refocus. We've 2 weeks now, and we can refocus, have a look at what Mullingar are going to throw at us. We caught a few minutes of it on the journey down, and they're absolute giants. The men there on the middle of the field. So if we'll obviously have to just have our homework done and come up with a plan for them. And but in it's a great position to be in. Like, we've our hurler boys, which we have probably have six on the panel overall, will be involved in an All Ireland B hurling semi final on Saturday against Portumna. So I think it's above in Tulla. So it's great for them. It's great for the school. There's real good characters inside the school now on the two teams at the minute, and they're making a great success of the year so far.
Yeah, brilliant for them. Liam, the very, very best luck to you in the final. We'll catch up after it, regardless of the result. Hopefully the Hogan Cup and the Corny of Rhee will be sitting up on the table here inside in Studio 2 in our studios here in Tralee. But look, the very, very best luck to all of you in the build-up and everything else, and thanks for coming on to chat this evening.
Thank you very much.
No bother at all. John, look, it's great, isn't it, for schools? And I spoke to Liam a couple of weeks ago after winning the Corny of Rhee, and that kind of classmate sort of in the corridors in school and playing for each other. But it is great to see a Kerry school back in the Hogan Cup final. We've been there and thereabouts for so many years between all the different schools doing well here, and to see the Green do it as well. It's great. Hard to believe it's 2007 since they were last there.
Yeah, it's great to see the tradition of the school, and, you know, they had a nice thing during the week there, the 1975 team. They were introduced. That's class, you know, and that's very important. And great to see Liam involved. Was involved with Liam at underage many years ago.
Great
footballer, and one of the nice guys as well, and with Mark O'Shea and the rest of the management team. But, you know, with 20 minutes to go, there was an uphill battle, but they showed great guts, and their main men came through. You know, the Gerard Whites, Nick Lacey's, Ron O'Carroll, a great two-pointer from Martin McGivergan. But look at the experience we're talking about. They're only young lads, but they've done it. McGivergan with Ballymac, these lads have done it with the minors. So a great victory, great 2 weeks now, looking forward to it, and getting to Croke Park again. You could hear Liam's voice, getting to Croke Park. That's the common denominator with most teams, and particularly in Kerry, that's where you want to play.
And that's the carrot you hold out for youngsters. And we see in Congress, they put it to bed the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, your talk for the 2 weeks before it, lads, we're only 60 minutes away from Croke Park. You know, so you'd have youngsters buzzing for it.
This might be their only chance to go back until they wear potentially a Kerry senior jersey or whatever else.
And plus, like, it's great because we saw it, John, down through the years when you were a minor manager as well. When the college football is gone well, the school football is gone well, you know, it gives everything a lift. Your minor, your Kerry minor team, your Kerry under 20 team. Mm-hmm. So it gives everything a lift. Everyone's watching, everyone's looking closely.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's great, and hopefully they're only one step away from it now that they can get over the line. It'd make a fantastic year for Kerry, wanted it, for the Hogan Cup, to all the titles.
And to everything else. Like, as I said, it's great for Tree Town, I think, as well, with the football job a couple of years ago. go. Get those teams going to intermediate and everything else. Great for football here in Tralee. Lads, we're very quickly running out of time. I did want to touch on Congress. You mentioned the minors there, Liam. But John, I get your view on it. It is amazingly, it was a 94-95% vote against it. So the majority, all bar probably one, maybe two county boards against the minor finals going back into Croke Park, minor football and minor hurling.
I love to know the reason, yeah. Ivan. Having been there and being involved, having spoken to a lot of people in other counties, managers that have been involved, like, there's some counties and they'll never get to Croke Park in an All-Ireland final day, but they'll get there with the minors. Kerry people will get there anyway, generally. Mm-hmm. But I think it's for everybody, being involved, getting to Croke Park, families up there, it's history.
Tipperary are probably a great example, going back, was about 10 years ago.
Correct. I don't know where it's coming from. I'd love to know the root of it. Is it a monetary thing that county boards don't want to overnights in Dublin with teams or whatever? I'm not so sure, but it's young lads. And this thing, I don't buy this thing about they're younger now, they need to be minded. Let them out on the greatest pitch in Ireland. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. On All-Ireland final day, that's what it is.
That's the next thing I was going to say, John. Would you put it on in Croke Park away from... Would you put a minor football All-Ireland, a minor hurling All-Ireland on a doubleheader inside in Croke Park away from the senior games?
Yeah, you could
do
that.
Would that be a compromise?
You could do
that's
that.
The best of a bad lot.
That's the best of a bad lot.
Or else
have it as a curtain raiser to a semi-final, Ivan, or, you know, maybe if they want to keep away from the final. But, like, I think it was always great, the buzz, when you were involved with Kerry, the seniors coming in, the crowd swelling, the atmosphere rising. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I even think back to 94 when we won it, like, meeting the Down team after, and the Dublin team. You know, our jaw was hitting the ground. Even though we were after playing, you were just watching, and it just drives you on to become a senior footballer. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a pity, but I'd love to know the real reason why.
Yeah, it must be disheartening for the players though as well at that age level. Now, if you are aspiring or playing for your county now or getting onto the county team, and all of a sudden now that, you know, everyone's voted for you to be out of Croke Park, it seems a bit harsh on them, doesn't it? Like, they are young, but I think the opportunity is bigger than kind of youth or age or whatever else.
Yeah, because we hear it down here so often, like, even go back to our club teams, you know, get to Croke Park. Everyone wants to get to Croke Park and play in Croke Park. But it's just a pity, because we've been beating the drum here all through the minor championship that it's a pity that they're in something at the end of the line, you know, to get to an All-Ireland final.
And like, even some of the lads, of course, David Moore and Tommy Wilson, these lads went on after to play senior for Kerry. Yeah. But there are some lads that went on to play under-20s and didn't get to Croke Park again. I meet them going to matches at different times of the year. They bring down the games in Croke Park. Wasn't it great?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And there's guys that have been there, and they're going to matches now, their supporters, and their families will be coming along the line later on. I'm not so sure why, but look, the GA makes strange decisions at times, and we're all part of the GA umbrella, under the GA umbrella. I'm not so sure. Like Liam said, I'd love to know the reason behind it.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's so many voted against it as well. It wasn't that it was kind of very close vote, whatever. Because we usually see at Congress when these votes, and that's motion 14, which was the extended. If they know that everyone's going to vote against it, they'll just pull the motion completely and didn't for the minors. But lads, we're out of time, unfortunately. Thanks very much for popping in. I think you've next Monday night off, and we're back in then after the Mayo showdown, which should be exciting. Plenty to come in the second hour. Camogie, ladies football, and plenty more in between. Keep it here on Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Get in touch with the programme, 083 300 3300. That's on text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 712 3666, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. Just a couple of your comments to get to before we head to Breed O'Shea on the ladies. Of course, it's always the same in Clarny, lads. There's only about four or five of the main styles open in Fitzgerald Stadium, and people have to queue for the stand and terraces all at the one style. It's a bit ridiculous. That's from a North Kerry listener, and thanks very much for getting in touch with that one. And given Gavin White will be taking up his spot, a left wing, but considering what Armin Heinrich has shown so far, it'd be very difficult not to see him get a starting starting spot. Where is Tomás Kennedy? His name is rarely mentioned these days, and thanks very much for getting in touch. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all of them out in the first hour. A busy evening on the text lines, and if you missed it a little earlier on, apologies on last week's show. We couldn't get access to our text service. We had the WhatsApp, but couldn't get into, there was some technical glitch with the text system, and some of them were coming jumbled up, some of them weren't coming in at all, so apologies if you were in touch after the game against Dublin last Monday evening, but out of our control unfortunately on that one. Now the Kingdom, unfortunately, it's another home defeat in the Leela Ladies National Football League Division 1. Kept it a lot closer than what they did to Cork the week previously, but beaten by 2 points unfortunately for the Kingdom. Where does that leave them now in Division 1? Well, that's what we're going to ask our next guest, which is Breida O'Shea. Breida, how are you?
How are things?
Good, good. Another disappointing home display from Mark Burke's side, unfortunately, going down to Galway yesterday.
Yeah, look, it was. And as you just alluded to there, yes, it was a better performance than the week before. But there's still areas for them to work on. And it really kind of, it tightens up the whole bottom of the division, because Meath didn't win either, so they stay level with us in 6 points. The rest of them have pushed away up at the top of the table, because Cork won, that puts them out on top. Galway won as well, so that puts them second. And Waterford, they lost to Cork, so they stay on the nine. But it has tightened up the last five places in the league very much so, because Kildare finally got their win against Meath, so that pushes them up to 4 points, just below Kerry and Meath. And both Armagh, Dublin had a draw yesterday. Dublin had been leading that game for majority of the game, and it was Armagh who came back in the last, I think, maybe 10 minutes and levelled it to leave them on 4 points, just below us. So you have Armagh, Dublin and Kildare all below us, and we have two of those teams to play.
Yeah, so maybe a healthier position than what the table shows at the moment, Breida?
It's in our own hands. That's the plain and simple of it. It's we can't be depending on other games and other results to go our way. It's two games on the road. We've won our other two games on the road. Normally you would maintain at the start of a league campaign that, oh, you'd bank your home games, and if you get something on the road, well and good. But this year we seem to be doing that the opposite way. We went away to Dublin, we went all the way up to North Meath, and we got victories there. So maybe a trip up the road to Armagh is what the girls need.
Yeah, quite possibly. Talk to me about the game itself, Bill. I suppose Kerry had the wind in the first half, managed 1-4 to Galway's 9, I think, in that opening half. But should Kerry maybe a couple of more points against the wind? Could that have been the difference maker?
It could have been. It wasn't necessarily the wind's fault. The wind the last day was actually more coming across the field, so it didn't actually aid any team. And we even saw that in the second half, where it held up some of Galway's shots into our goal and actually pulled it back towards them after them kicking into the wind. But it's more, yes, there was better communication than there was the weekend before, but it just doesn't seem to be a cohesiveness throughout the team of when we're bursting out from defence, there's very slow to movement in the forward line.
What do Kerry need to do to kind of get that right? You've got, as you said, two more league games, hopefully avoiding a potential drop, but you know, you've got two more games to get that right now before a very competitive looking Munster Championship. 120 minutes there to maybe iron out those few things.
Yeah, and look, talking to management afterwards, it has been explained that seemingly the girls are in heavy training at the moment, that the eye is more on Championship. Some of the girls are involved with college football as well at the moment. So you have to take all this into account going forward. Is there more players to come back into the team? Not so much compared to the start of the campaign. But heading on into Championship, sorry, apologies. Apologies there. But heading into Championship, they need a solid 15. And I know Mark Burke has been rotating players to give chances to players, but it is heading into these two last games. They need to kind of solidify their 15 and let the girls communicate better with each other out on the field.
Obviously, Breida, the new rules in now 5 games in for Kerry and ladies football in general. Have we seen Kerry kind of utilise them to the best of their ability yet?
Not fully. I would have said in the Dublin game, a Meath game, yes, we did with the solo and go. There was very little of the solo and go yesterday. We haven't really tried a lot of the two-pointers. Yes, conditions haven't been open to that in a lot of the games they have played. And look, that's across the board with all the ladies' games. The weather has dictated a lot of these outcomes of the games. But I think it's more the communication and in the breaches. Yes, we'd no breach yesterday, which was an improvement on the last few games. So it's just solidifying, I think, the first 15 places and just letting the girls gel, because we've had switches in and out. Anna Galvin's at midfield 1 week, then Quiva Evans is another week. Our full forward line keeps moving around. So players don't necessarily, I'd say, know where they're playing or what their role is such on the field. And having spoken to management, they have alluded to the fact of that there's 4 weeks of a break between league and the Munster Championship starting. So I think they're more eyeing that. But at the moment, it will be the next two games to win to make sure you stay in Division 1 for next year.
Yeah, that is crucial as well, Breed, isn't it? Kind of that we've been talking about the men's there a little earlier on, that they've secured their Division 1 status for next year. That's always kind of goal number one going into these, and if you can get to potentially a league final and win it, all well and good. But that survival is always kind of key number one, and that's still open for Mark Burke.
Well, definitely. Like, I would believe in a thing of that you go out to win every game, not just that, oh, we'll mind ourselves for championships. So I'm a bit perplexed with the whole rotation of squad in every single game that has persisted. I know they want to try out new players. I know we're still suffering, say, a backlash from 2 years ago with the amount of players that did step away after the All-Ireland win. And they're still trying to rebuild that squad as such that was there beforehand. And that is going to take time. And I know at underage level we have some fabulous players coming through. But it's maintaining the Division 1 status for those players coming through down the line is what you want. You don't want to be back down in Division 2. And I know you can say the argument of, oh, Cork and Galway both went down last year and look at them this year. But like, Cork had their championship team out against us 2 weeks ago. Galway maybe had three or four more to come back in. We saw them reintroduced as the game went on yesterday. But they just seem to be that bit ahead of us, even in fitness, in what they're doing with the ball. We tended to be a bit too slow in how we moved the ball forward.
Yeah, and you know, that's the one from Galway's side that they kind of took a lot of, I suppose, took on a lot of chances and kind of got reaped their rewards from it. Kind of seemed almost the scores were coming easier for kind of Galway, if you want to put it that way. You know, is that kind of something that Kerry might have to look at, as kind of maybe taking those chances when they do come to them? Or is this kind of every score just seemed to hard come by for Kerry?
Yeah, we struggled with getting the ball into our full forward line. We just seemed to be that bit slower. Galway were well more able to actually carry the ball in across the 45, say. We seemed to decide to go lateral with it and slow things down and see if we can get an opening. Whereas Galway, when they did have the opportunity, were well able to take on that ball and break the defensive line in one sense. Yes, it does go back to that. We've had major changes in our defence over the last couple of months. Deirdre Kearney was back yesterday, and that was her first game back, and she did a full game out in the field, and she did extremely well. She was a player who kind of had said at the start of the year that maybe she was stepping away, so I don't know, was there persuasions given to try bring her back, or what was the story there? But you see, we have lost two defenders who would have been key to us going forward in the championship, and that's Cort Lynch and Ava Doherty. So it is to protect our defence in some way. Yesterday, Anna Galvin was pulled back into centre half back position. In the first half, you could see it kind of held her a tiny bit, whereas Anna Galvin was always the player that when she would make these bursts and try bursts through the centre, and then players could play off each shoulder off her if that avenue wasn't there. But especially during the first half yesterday, she seemed to maybe stop that run because, oh no, I'm supposed to be a defender now. So it really is just gelling the team together now in these last two games, especially heading up against Armagh, because you never want to be in a position of heading into a last game that you have to win to stay in Division 1, because that is the day things go wrong. And like we had chances yesterday that we maybe just didn't take, we didn't capitalise on them at the time, and that we turned back and looked for a pass instead of trying to take the shot on and trying to go for that score. Yes, we changed in goalkeeper again yesterday, and Mary Ellen made a fabulous save at one stage, which would have put the game totally and utterly to bed at that stage if it had gone in. But it's just, I'm not too sure where the girls' minds are at the moment, in that they didn't seem too despondent after the loss yesterday, so they are building for championship in their minds. But you see, it has to be at the back of the heads that Division 1 status has to be maintained.
Yeah, you mentioned Anna Galvin. Neve Carmody was another one who kind of had to move out to the kind of half back line. She's usually kind of open that half forward line, but again, more probably experimentation from Mark Burke as well.
It was, and then we did see in the second half that Katie Brosnan was introduced, and she had done extremely well in earlier games against Dublin and Meath in carrying that ball forward. And that is where the likes of Cort Lynch is a big loss to the county, in that she would gather the ball, usually in or around between the full back line and the half back line, and all of a sudden Cort Lynch would take off and she'd have the ball up into the half forward line before we'd even know it. And so she is a big loss in that aspect, and then in just opening up the play inside. So it's also simple things of, I don't think we know who our full forward line is. Yes, Schieffer was picked inside there yesterday, so was Danielle, but they both seemed to be rotating and coming out the field. There was stages that Schieffer O'Shea was back in her own half back line defending, and you see, if we want to be able to score on the other side, we need Schieffer up on top and a ball being pumped into her early, whereas we tend to be slowing the ball down too much as we're coming out of our half back line, and that lets the other team set up defence. We saw with Galway yesterday, they moved the ball at pace, and there was times that they did open us up. They didn't take advantage of us, but you will come later in the championship and you will come up against the teams that will take advantage of that.
Yeah, 100%. Nice to see a couple back, Roisin Rahilly back in the starting lineup. Good to see Deirdre Carney as well.
Yeah, definitely, and they're bodies that were needed back. It's just that bit of experience in the full back line just to cover, especially with these new rules that you've less bodies back protecting the goal. And we did that, I'd say, after about 15 minutes into the game. We did seem more sure in stopping Galway getting those opportunities and getting those chances in. And like even when with Roisin Leonard shot, I think it was late on in the first half, her angle was too tight and that's why it went straight across the goal. And that was down to the pressure that was being put on her. But it's just when we overturn that an attack, we tend to slow up the ball too much and we try hand pass it out of our defence instead of maybe that our half forward line has already moved. When we have the ball back, our half forward line has already reacted and you can send a long ball in, and that opens up the other team's defence then.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the full forward line and kind of getting that right as well, Breda. But, you know, you're looking at the likes of Schieffer O'Shea, you know, struggled from play, got a couple from freeze. Danielle, no point from play, got the goal, all right. But, you know, you're kind of looking at your kind of key players as well, see what they can do. But obviously the supply just wasn't there for them, as you say.
Yeah, the supply wasn't there, and then they were having to come out to get the supply. So if they're outside getting the supply, they're not inside to receive the ball back. So it seems to be between the two 45s, it seems to be where we're having that difficulty, in that we're not able to move the ball fast enough through that period of play. And then by the time we have it up at the opposing 45, the other team are back. So all of a sudden we're back to this lateral passing back and forth across the pitch to see if we can make an avenue or take a chance. And like it's once or twice, Schieffer and Neve Carmody in particular, they did decide to take it on and they did win the freeze and we were able to tap them over. So it's more the onus on the players to actually take the ball on and take the chance on. And look, I know we're sick in this county of Ambrose saying the ball is better off gone wide and gone dead than being overturned, and that's what's happening to us at times. It's being overturned just before we reach the opposing 45 and already we're on the back foot, that we're trying to chase it back and we're chasing shadows then.
Yeah. Scheduling wasn't the best yesterday, Breda, which is disappointing for people who wanted to go to both. You were on commentary with John yesterday, but I just have an email here that I want to read to you, and I just did with the lads earlier on, made a bit of a full house, so anxious to give Richard McGilligan his minute here as well. I've listened for years, but first time getting in contact. I think I speak for a lot of people when I ask, what the hell were Radio Kerry at interrupting their coverage of the men's Monaghan game yesterday to go across to the Ladies League game for more than 6 or 7 minutes. Given the Monaghan game was not being shown, does Radio Kerry seriously think anyone bar a tiny minority would be more interested in the latter rather than the former? I'd understand if they switched over for a 30-second update, but to give over 6, 7 or 8 minutes of airtime to the other game while Kerry supporters are left in the dark about developments in Killarney is ridiculous. Rant over. And that's from Richard McGilligan. Look,
well, can I respond to that? So what about the Kerry supporters that actually wanted to hear about the ladies' game?
I fully agree with that, and that's where I'm kind of, that's why I opened kind of that conversation, yeah, with the words. The scheduling of these matches did nobody any favours. It didn't do broadcasters any favours. It certainly didn't do the ladies any favours. And to be fair, 5,000 people in Killarney wasn't a huge attendance either at the men's game. So it's just a pity that, again, and we've talked about this with facilities around the movie, the Mead game, the game in Dublin in the pitch with no stand. You know, it just brings the whole thing back again in that, like, we couldn't obviously fulfil our full fulfillment of getting the full ladies game on or the full men's game, given that we had to interrupt the coverage to keep getting the updates from the ladies as well. You know, it's 2026, like, I just can't believe that we're still, you know, talking about these things today. It's just very disappointing from a support point of view for the girls, for the men's as well, and all that kind of, it's just the whole thing in general is just a bit, you know, nonsensical. You'd have the two games in opposite towns in the county within 45 minutes of each other starting.
Yeah, and look, I heard your conversation earlier about opening up Croke Park and everything like that. It pits both sides against each other, and that, oh, one is more better than the other. No, they're not. We're both equal. Both teams want to go out and play a game of football. That's all it is about. And the way things are being set up, it is pitting that, oh, the men's is above the ladies, or the ladies aren't getting their fair rights, and it just creates an argument, and it's eggs everything on. Whereas, like I'll add fuel further to the fire. In a couple of weeks' time, the Kerry ladies are playing Armagh on a Saturday evening above in Armagh, and the Kerry men's are travelling up and they're playing on the Sunday against the Armagh men. So it is, there's no thinking outside the box as to how we can sell the actual product of GAA and sell it as an overall product for everybody across the country. Not just men, not just ladies. It's for everybody to go and enjoy the spectacle, the experience of a game. And if you had a few more double headers, I know they're starting in the Munster Council, have started that the Kerry Cork game, the ladies game in their round robin system is going to be played before the Munster men's. I know there's a few of the Camogie being played before hurling fixtures in the Munster thing. But it's to sit down at the start of the year and go, right, lads, we're both playing at home that weekend. What can we do? And work it out that way. And like we've had this discussion numerous times over the past couple of years. Yes, 10, 15 years ago, the argument was that the ladies weren't getting into the bigger pitches. We are getting there. We're getting that we've played in Austin Stack Park and we've played in Fitzgerald Stadium at home this year. But it's to join up all the dots and bring everybody together underneath the one roof. Will that happen? We'll have to wait and see. They're still in talks, they're still in negotiations and everything like that. But like, to go back to the person that emailed in, I understand his frustration. His interest was the Kerry men's game. He wanted to hear who all the scores were for the Kerry men's game. Equally, at home, there was people that wanted to hear the Kerry ladies' scores. And this goes, it goes back to the same argument as well, that when the World Cup is on and RTE are showing all the World Cup games and there's nothing else on the telly, what are people who are not into soccer supposed to do? So you can't keep everybody happy, no matter how much we try, no matter how much we try to say, oh, we'll make this equal and that equal. And like, that goes back to, like, earlier I heard you talking about that the colleges games going to Croke Park, and or the minors not being played in Croke Park now anymore and stuff like that. The league final for the ladies has been played in Parnell Park. It's not even being played in Croke Park this year.
One more game gone, yeah.
Yeah, so you see, so it seems like at stages that we make maybe 10 steps forwards towards this amalgamation, and then all of a sudden something else is thrown up and it's like you've taken 20 steps back.
Yeah, no, it is disappointing. And, you know, at this day and age, we can't kind of figure out this, you know, our two senior teams, men and women. And we see that it's a similar story when it comes to, as you said, hurling and camogie as well. It's just, if the team is away from home, there's nothing that can be done. And that's totally understandable. And we've seen, like, the Cork men's hurlers and footballers clashing as well on league weekends, one's at home, one's away. That can't be kind of controlled. But when you're kind of looking at this, you're kind of saying our two county grounds are being used at the same time, one by the men's, one by the ladies. Just seems, you know, not helping anybody really. Just going forward, so Breen, I suppose just back to on-field action. The real hope is that Kerry can survive now in Division 1 and just put in, you know, two storming performances before a Munster Championship, I presume.
Yeah, that would be the hope. I do believe like that they're getting more towards the team that they actually want to pick. So we will wait and see now. For they have a 2 week break now until Armagh, I think on the 21st I think of March. So nearly a 3 week break until that game. So it is, but Armagh are a team that have been coming the last few games. They had a few poor outings in their first few games. They've got a few more players back. Blaheen Mackin played a full game the last two games now, and she would be one of their key players. I haven't seen Amy Mackin, or I haven't seen her mentioned. She would be her younger sister. She was their star forward there 2 years ago. But I do know she did the ACL, was it early last year, and I know she's involved with the Aussie rules as well, so I don't know if she maybe not allowed play. We'll have to wait and see when we head up there in 2 weeks' time. But they're not going to be easy games. Kildare gave us a really tough game in Fitzgerald Stadium last year, and Lana Priseman is one of their star forwards. She got a goal again yesterday against Meath. So it just shows you the calibre of what we're heading into. They were able to put four goals away against Meath yesterday, as well as we were a few weeks ago. So we could be on a par, but it is to get the points out of both of these games. I would honestly prefer that we get the points out of Armagh just to take the pressure off, rather than trying to head into a last game to have to get a win, because Dublin are still there. They're going to be fighting. They don't want to go down to Division 2. Armagh don't want to go down. And Meath are still level with us in 6 points as well. So you've a lot of teams there that over the next few weeks will be upping their game. So we have to up our game too. I know that might be a bit earlier than what they'd hoped, going by the championship. Championship is going to be tough in Munster. You have Waterford, you've Cork. We've seen what they can do to us, and you'll also have Tipperary thrown into the mix as well. So it is going to be a tough Munster championship. So I think the next two games they need to maybe concentrate more on those, and we will worry about the Munster Championship when we have Division 1 status maintained.
Absolutely, that should be a good setup for the Munster Championship. Breda, as ever, thank you very much for joining us. Delighted to give you as much coverage as we possibly can on Monday evening across the ladies' game. It always is a pleasure.
No, and Ivan, just let me say, it's great to let everybody get the exposure, to everybody to hear, because if there's a 14 or a 16-year-old sitting in a kitchen and she's listened with her to the men's being spoken about, and now she has sat and listened to the ladies being spoken about, she has something to aspire to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what's the saying that they used a couple of years ago? If you can't see it, you can't be it. I think that's something along those lines. And no, 100%. And we're ever committed to giving coverage to the Kerry ladies as much as the Kerry footballers. I think my producer, Breda, would kill me if I didn't talk that much about the Kerry ladies anyway. So she's twisting my arm if anything else. But I want to give the coverage as much as her, I promise. Breda, thanks very much. We'll chat to you again after the next game.
That's perfect, Ivan.
That's a pleasure. That's Breda. And we're going to go from ladies football, the time is quickly going, to camogie after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and from ladies football to the Camogie, and a fantastic start for the Kingdom in life in Division 2A of the Central National Camogie Leagues. The Kingdom top of the table, a point clear of Meath and Derry. That's after two wins and a draw to kickstart their campaign. We spoke to John Madden the week before last, I believe it was, and now we're delighted to be joined by the Kerry Camogie captain, that is of course Aoife Fitzgerald. Aoife, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. Another great win for you on Saturday.
Yeah, nice win, alright. We made hard work of it, but yeah, nice to be on top of the table.
I think you got a scare towards the end in around the goal mode, was there? Andrew was jumping leppy on the radio here on Saturday. It was a close enough finish, but it's a good competitive division, that Division 2, and there's no one kind of, I wouldn't say kind of running away with anything here. It's all very tight-knit, and the games run off very quickly as well.
Yeah, this is our fourth or fifth week now on the go. So, but the league is, it's very tight. All teams are very evenly matched, and it's the same with the championship, really. You know, you could be a point up or a point down in the matter of seconds. So
that's kind of the joys, though, having the league this time of year. That, you know, that kind of competitive edge is there. You don't want to kind of, you want to be in a division that doesn't really suit you. Aoife, is what I'm trying to say, is that you kind of want to be there where it is nice and competitive, and it's only a couple of point swings in every game. And even though it mightn't be good for the heart or whatever else, that's what you need preparation to go into the championship.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant preparation, and brilliant. You know, like as management say, that we'd be battle hardened and things like that. But no, it's what you want, definitely, and trying to improve and move on, like to the bigger stages. It's good.
Yeah, 100%. Eve, a big one coming up against Westmeath. That's on this coming Saturday. That'll be a big one for a potential place in the league final before a lengthy old spin up to Derry in 2 weeks' time. Then as well.
Yeah, Westmeath is a very big one, actually. We were very lucky that we were able to use Austin Sex Park and Fitzgerald Stadium 2 weeks ago. It's a privilege to be able to play in our county grounds. But yeah, Westmeath is a tough old battle, all right. We always struggle against him, like we do most of the teams in the group. But anyway, we'll give it our best shot, that's for sure.
Yeah, that home advantage is obviously massive, and as you said, getting into the county grounds is great as well. And I'm sure you'll be delighted to see plenty of old and new faces coming in to support you next week, and that's the last home game in the league.
It is always nice to see the support there, to hear them as well. It's cool, like even the dress rooms and everything brings a bit of professionalism about it, and we are very grateful for, to the county board for allowing that, and the work of our own county board to get us there. But we don't take them things for granted, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Look, I spoke to John last week, Aoife, and look, you're kind of fully focused into this year, so I don't want to go back to too much on last year, but I suppose that kind of maybe, I wouldn't say hurt is probably the wrong thing, but that kind of experience maybe of getting to that final last year and getting to the intermediate decider in Croke Park, you know, that should be good motivation enough, I'm sure, within the group yourself to go on and go one better this year. I'm sure you've your eyes set on the targets for the year ahead.
Well, yeah, it's even for confidence, like that we are good enough to be there. It's a massive, massive experience for girls that might have played in Croke Park before. Like, they have now. They have the experience for this year. So it is the goal, obviously. But, yeah, it will be a dream to get back there and do one better.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's nice to have something to kind of, I suppose, work towards for a year as well, when you're training and those dark evenings and everything else. That kind of, that bit of, I don't know what you call it, kind of that bit of oomph maybe inside you, that, you know, you want to go out and prove yourselves, because in fairness the whole county got behind you, and you only narrowly beaten in that final in the end as well. So there's definitely something coming for this Kerry Camogie team, and you can see the county kind of roaring behind you over it.
Yeah, it is very nice to see. Last year it was kind of breathtaking at times, the amount of people that would say to you, but it's great to see the underage structures are strong, like the minors were playing yesterday, they're improving. Under 16s, they're all coming, so Kerry Camogie is in a strong position, and long may that last.
Yeah, no, 100% Aoife. Look, the very best look, so you're at Stag Park on Saturday. Is it 2 o'clock throw, anything on Saturday, is it?
2 o'clock, yeah, Saturday, yeah.
Brilliant, and then you're away to Derry, and please God, a place maybe in a league final, and maybe that promotion up to the Division 1 as well. It's unprecedented heights for Kerry, which is great. It just goes to show the work that's going in at underage level as well, and right up along up to the senior ranks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 1B obviously is a target, and it'd be nice to get there. But we'll take it game by game, I suppose, and we look forward to Saturday against Westmead first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Aoife, look, thanks very much for taking the time out. Look, we wish you all the very best, and we'll keep you in touch throughout the campaign with all of you as well. And look, best of luck going forward into the remainder of the league and into the championship as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Evan.
Absolute pleasure. That's Aoife Fitzgerald there, our Camogie captain. What a fantastic start to a league campaign. And obviously, you know, tough coming back from an All-Ireland defeat like that. We spoke to, as I said, John Madden just a couple of weeks ago, and his kind of thoughts on everything ahead of the year. And great to see there after kick-starting the year. Undefeated, 2 wins and a draw from their opening three. Big one now against Westmeath. If they can get that one over the line with 3 points on offer. Again, there's 3 points in the Camogie as opposed to two. That should set them on their way to a league final as well before a tricky test above in Derry. So a real crucial game for the Kerry Camogie team, and you can support them inside in Austin Stack Park. 2 o'clock start on Saturday. That's 4 games in 4 weeks as well. It's a tough all out here when you look at the likes of Danielle O'Leary, who's playing ladies football, and Camogie. It just goes to show the dedication these girls are putting into sport as well. After this break, we'll be chatting to some members of the Kerry LGFA. Of course, a busy start to their year as ever, and plenty of competitions, underage sides and everything else. Busy time to be any county board, I think, all year round. But we check in with them and see what's happening in their world after we take this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're moving from ladies football to Camogie. Now we're back to ladies football. But great to be able to chat to Nora Feely, of course, a county chair for the Kerry LGFA, and PRO Chris McGillicuddy. Lads, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk, and thanks for popping in. There's plenty to talk about. Nora, I'll start with you, I suppose. Look, it's... county boards, they're just so busy, aren't they? Just in general, with, you know, we talk often with the Kerry County Board and all the planning and everything and all the teams. It's hard to kind of put into words, really, kind of what goes in from, I suppose, start to finish and getting teams out there and between clubs and county, you know, representation as underage level right up to senior. There's plenty going on in the world of ladies football.
There is, yeah. I suppose we're responsible for about 5,500 members, so... to make sure that everything goes well, then we're, you know, just to make sure that everything is organised for them, from fixtures to, you know, all the paperwork that needs to be done and everybody development and everything else. It's a lot, but we're well able for it. There's a good committee there to do it.
Yeah, a lot of people think of county board and you kind of think of, you know, potentially the senior team and getting to Croke Park and all that kind of goes with logistics there, but there is so much that goes on, and it goes right down to the, you know, the bottom rung of the ladder on, you know, whatever it is, under 12s, under 10s football at the, you know, Division 5. It goes the whole way from there right up to the bright lights of Croke Park, and that's your kind of job, really, isn't it, to get the youngsters from there up and giving them the, I suppose, competitive games across the year and in Kerry as well at club level.
Yeah, I mean, development is one of the things that we concentrate on a lot, all the way from, like, you know, grassroots from the clubs, to make sure that, you know, they have the facilities they need to work and to have the games and everything for the players so that they can develop. And then obviously, like I say, it goes the whole way into county and underage county and then obviously senior.
Yeah, and obviously participation is a key to that, and keeping, I suppose, girls interested. And a lot of time you kind of hear maybe secondary school kind of players drop you out and everything else. But I think in Kerry we've kind of a strong enough championship up along that you can kind of keep players interested, and it's great. And you see the school teams now playing as well. You know, there's so much to be said in life to playing football and kind of staying out on the pitch, boys and girls. And it's great to see kind of that ladies football go from strength to strength at underage level as well, and kind of it's gone from kind of the days of the amalgamation early years with the boys and the girls are able to field the teams now, which is great as well.
Yeah, I mean, there are very few amalgamations this year at underage, so that's a great thing that, like, every club is getting the girls in, so it's fantastic to see. And obviously the club girls and the younger girls can look to the older girls in their clubs. We had a great year this year with the clubs. 3 teams in the Munster finals, club finals. 1, obviously, come on, make it to the All-Ireland final. So it's something for the other clubs, girls, to look to and say, well, we can do that as well.
And that probably, Nora, comes from, you know, obviously all the year working the ground, and Chris and getting the fixtures fixtures out there and everything else. And then there's, you know, there's secretaries dealing with flooded pitches this time of year and everything. It is a massive group effort. And I suppose from the outside looking in, we just hear if a game is on or if it's cancelled or if it's moved or whatever else. But the amount of phone calls and everything else, I just can't imagine what the inside of a county board house or office is. It's a huge, it's kind of a life dedication really, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, it does take up a lot of time. Yeah, the housework and stuff goes to the back door when we're in the middle of it. But yeah, but like I say, we have a fantastic executive. So we have a fixtures chair, Jerry Fitzgerald, that looks after all the fixtures, referees. You know, we have a development team that look after development for the underage, development for the referees, for volunteers. So everyone has their job and everyone is carrying it out very well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've Chris here sitting beside you, who's a good man to get stuff out there as well. The importance of a PRO, Chris, it can't be understated really, because if it wasn't for you, we don't hear about these things or these games or anything else. And you know what kind of goes into the whole team, you know, such in a county board, it is hugely kind of, I suppose, important that you get the message out there right and everything else. There's again, it's just what goes on behind closed doors is massive.
Oh, it is massive. And I will say that Paul Murphy has been doing an absolutely phenomenal job, I'd say, for the last 9 or 10 years, or I'm not too sure, but I've never gone to a game and I haven't seen him at it at any age group or at any level. He's still doing a phenomenal job at that as well. And I suppose it just goes to show the amount of work that goes into it is probably the reason where I would have come on board this year. I also feel very strongly that it's a massive, massive brand that, you know, to work with. And you know, to be able to work with. And I suppose one of the things outside of sport is that for girls and for women playing sport, it's proven that they get kind of better jobs. They're more likely to be CEOs in companies if they're playing sport from an early age. They develop so much in terms of leadership and teamwork and resilience. So I suppose for me, like, I would be very passionate about ladies in sport, but obviously particularly football here in Kerry, like.
Yeah, and it's hugely important. And I mentioned that sort of those kind of school years as well, where, you know, some kind of might drop out of it, some might come back to it. You wouldn't know. It depends on kind of friend groups and everything else. But I think it's kind of cool to play football now in Kerry, isn't it? I think when you're in school, you kind of, that kind of dropping out for something else kind of is kind of gone out of it, really, isn't it? I think especially amongst the ladies footballers, we've seen how strong, you know, minor teams are coming through and teams inside in schools. And as Noah mentioned there, you know, the teams getting to the Munster finals, that, you know, it's definitely there again, I think. And especially amongst ladies footballers, when you see the senior kind of team doing well, it kind of stems down along and there's more interest and there's more going to games. And it's amazing how kind of success can kind of breed a lot of that. But I think kind of playing football for, especially now ladies football as well, it is kind of seen as a cool thing to do. And you see, you know, yourself from Clarendon, I went to school in Clarendon as well, the kind of that buzz around the school with Cremorne and how well they did as well. It's great, like, and it's just goes to show that kind of the future is bright for up to our senior team as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose even this week on Wednesday night, we have Laker Gael, you know, Louise and Marie Artig is being featured, like it's a phenomenal piece of television. But I suppose for girls looking up, and even still on the panel today, like, we have role models, we have athletes that they can look up to and they can aspire to be. And like you had said earlier, you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. But it 100% is the case. And I suppose we're lucky in that sense. And, you know, there's a phenomenal team behind Nora, you know, really, that are there. I think there's so many people that are willing to work, you know, and hopefully push on the next generation of players.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does take that sort of effort from the off the field standpoint to make it as easy for these players when they do go out on the pitch to do their thing for the 60 minutes or so, and be able to go back out again. And not to mention the fellow who pumps the balls and washes the jerseys and everything else. Lads, we have to take a quick break. We'll talk a small bit more about the county board and what's planned for the year ahead after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now we're in the midst of our chat with Nora Feely and Chris McGillicuddy on all things LGFA. Chris, I suppose, look, these things don't come cheap, and running your, obviously the club teams are kind of self-sufficient. They run off their budgets from the clubs and everything else. But then when it gets to inter-county, it's someone's problem that isn't the clubs, unfortunately. So obviously, look, it's important to get your funds in from people going to matches, and there's so many different ways. You've a golf classic coming up as well, so you know, really important to kind of people come in and kind of support that by, like, that going out to the games, maybe playing a game of golf, whatever it needs be to give the ladies a support, especially going into the summer season when hopefully, touch wood, we'll be heading back to Croke Park.
Absolutely. I suppose, look, I'm involved in my own club at home as well. We coach in the under-18s ladies team there with Paddy O'Shea. And I suppose one of the big things we always want is just for people to go to games. I think that's really important. You know, just at the very, very base, you know, that you'll support your team, support your parish, you know, be proud of your parish, be it boy or girl, you know, that there's that that proudness there. With that as well, I suppose, as you've alluded to there in the cast running it, we've always come up with some fundraisers. Anthony Kern is the vice chair, and he's organised a golf classic on Good Friday in Killarney, one of the most beautiful golf courses in the country, you know. So we have opportunities for sponsorship there. And I suppose rather than coming on and saying, you know, that there's a sponsorship opportunity, there is, I suppose, a huge brand alignment to come with the Kerry LGFA as well. I mean, even at the moment, before I came in, I had a quick look, and the Instagram views over the last month have been 1.3 million.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook is up around 500,000 as well. Like, so, you know, you're you're really pushing up around almost 2 million views in 30 days. And we're not even scratching at the surface of the season yet, really, you know. So, I mean, like, there is a huge momentum behind all of the teams, I suppose, right through. We'd love to see that being continued on. We'd love to see people out there that maybe have a bit of money with their club or with their business, that they can feel that they can reach out to us and say, listen, this is what I have, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and that those partnerships are important, and especially, I suppose, you're looking at Kerry Ladies, and if you call it a brand, and it is a brand as much as it's a team and everything else, but it's a good one to kind of get behind. And you are supporting the amateur player who goes out and, you know, works hard at night time, kicking, you know, the ball in the dark nights and wet nights throughout the winter. You know, you're supporting something that's in our community, and we're all involved, you know, some shape or form. We either talk about it, or we're involved in it, or we're coaching it, or whatever it might be. So like, to be able to align yourself to those kind of things, Chris, is important. And I suppose like that, no better than maybe than some fellas go out and play an all game of golf as well, is nice, and hopefully by Good Friday the weather might be improved a bit.
Ah, well, we've had so much rain now, we could nearly guarantee it'll be a lovely weekend.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, or else you're going for a swim, one or the other. That's on Good Friday in Killarney, and it's a great chance maybe for people who aren't members in Killarney might want to get to see it. It's always kind of a nice all day out with a classic, and it's always a bit of fun, isn't it?
Absolutely.
They're always enjoyable occasion.
And it's a low cost thing as well, you know, for in terms of a team is €400, you know, which is well worth it for that course that it is. We've tee box sponsorship there for 100 and green sponsorship for 250. So look, it's a great opportunity to be involved with what I feel like is a huge and growing brand as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Nora, on that, before we finish up, because the clock is ticking against us, I suppose, look, busy year to come for all of your teams. Obviously, we get fixtures in for under 14 Kerry Ladies, under 16 Kerry Ladies. There's the minors, there's the seniors, obviously, in league action at the moment. I suppose just an overall picture of what's kind of to come for the year ahead. We obviously know we've got a Munster and All Ireland series with the seniors. There's the same kind of with the minors, club championships coming up as well. People want to regain their crowns and get back to Munster finals. Quite a busy year to come.
Yeah, there is a lot to come. I mean, starting off this weekend, as Chris said, with the minor leagues are starting this weekend. The Donal Corton Cup will be starting at the end of the month. So there's plenty for people to go out and support, and, you know, as our clubs go and support their clubs, and hopefully we'll, as we go along through the year, we'll have the championship and then hopefully representation again at Munster and All-Ireland level. But, like, go out and support the clubs at grassroots and turn up and appreciate what the girls are doing out there. And there's plenty of good games to watch, so
and that's the thing, Nora, because I often see my own club in Crokes, see the ladies team play maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday evening in Donal Curtin. Usually the weather's starting to get a small bit better, you know, into May. There might be a nice sunny evening. It is a nice one to go out to, and, you know, there a lot of times are maybe a free entry or maybe just a couple of euro to go into them as well, and they're good entertaining games, and that's the most important thing. And if you're maybe out supporting the men's team in the club, or maybe you're a young fella on the minor team, whatever, why not go out and support the ladies team? A lot of them are kind of midweek, maybe a weekend that might suit people as well. So there's a good spread of games right across it.
There is. There's a good spread of games, and all games are free except for finals.
Yeah.
So there's no entry fee at any of those games. So don't just pop down and support your local club.
Yeah, and it's great. And there's fierce participation as well, as you said, from underage. A lot of clubs represented right up now through the ranks, from young to old, and strong teams. You've seen the likes of Southern Gales come together, and MKL Gales as well. Yeah. It's great that, like, even when maybe a club mightn't be able to feel, they all kind of come together, and there's great participation at underage level as well.
Absolutely, yeah. There's great participation in the development squads as well then during the year that are provided by the county for all girls. So there's huge take up on that as well. And, you know, we'll have Easter camps coming up and stuff, so keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris McGillicuddy's 1.6 million Instagram views, page.
Yeah.
Lads, thanks very much for popping in, and I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. Best luck with the golf and with the social media and everything. And look, I'm sure it'll be another good successful year on and off the field for Kerry LGFA.
Thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Liam and John for the first hour, to Breida and Tiff Fitzgerald from the Camogie. Niamh produced. Mary's up next with Tug Suss, and she'll be a kind Oscuilge Gadi a day clog and oct. That's it from Terrace Talk. We'll do it all again next Monday from 6 to 8, Lacoon of Day. It's long before.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sport.